Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with FBI Executive Assistant Director Gary Bald. Also joining us in our conversation is Richard Scott. Gary, FBI Director Robert Mueller says that today's FBI is not defined by boxes on an organization chart, but by the new ways of doing business, greater collaboration with our partners in law enforcement, less bureaucratic red tape, and more accountability at every level. What is the Counterterrorism and Counterintelligence Division doing to achieve these new ways of doing business?
I think the creation of the National Security Branch has helped reduce a layer of bureaucracy within the FBI by merging the components of counterterrorism, counterintelligence, and the Directorate of Intelligence of the FBI into one organization that has complementary missions. It places accountability for national security matters within the FBI under one executive. It streamlines the director's vision of a unified, effective national security workforce. And by interacting with other members of the intelligence community, I'm in a position to ensure that the FBI effectively integrates its strong capabilities with other intelligence community agencies, and I can ensure that we effectively expend our national security resources in furtherance of the Attorney General and Director of National Intelligence's guidance. And so in that regard, I'm in, a very good position to prioritize what we do, ensure our highest priorities are supported and addressed. I'm also working with the director to fundamentally change the way we approach our national security mission, and with the ultimate goal of realizing efficiencies and better focus in the operational efforts that we carry out.
I understand that the FBI has adopted a reengineering approach to change that has enabled the FBI to make immediate improvements in key areas. Can you tell us about the key areas and how you plan on carrying out this transformation in the long term?
Sure. I spoke about several of the key national security developments earlier, but my current focus is in several areas. First, in changing how we operationally fulfill our national security mission by becoming more strategic in the way that we collect information. I guess second, reengineering the manner in which our field intelligence groups support and guide our operations. I'm in the process of working to revise our technology systems to enhance our analytic and sharing capabilities. We're working to revise the special agent career path so that we're more specialized in what we do. We're working to ensure that our analytic cadre has a career path comparable to those in other intelligence community agencies. And I'm developing a training regimen that I think will afford lifetime learning to our national security workforce. And then pulling all of that together, I intend to continue to rely on Phil Mudd, my deputy, and my three assistant directors, Willie Hulon, Dave Zadie, and Bob Casey, to reduce inefficiencies and improve our operational capabilities so that we stay ahead of the bad guys.
How are you effectively utilizing applied science and engineering resources to empower the FBI's investigative and intelligence operations and to thwart the techniques of our adversaries?
Well, applied sciences are the heart of our forensic capabilities in the FBI, and we've got to continue our history of being strong in those areas. They in particular would relate to, as far as they relate to national security, our effective collection, preservation of information, both intelligence and evidence, and forensic analysis of both intelligence and evidence. We have been at the forefront of using science to solve crimes throughout our history, and our laboratory has been an essential ingredient in our identifying those responsible for terrorist attacks against the United States and its citizens for many years. We now conduct more than a million forensic examinations a year in furtherance of both our criminal intelligence missions, and forensics are an essential tool in combating terrorism. Our Terrorist Explosive Device Analytics Center is an excellent example of our partnerships with the Department of Defense. We've applied our forensic skills to examine the remnants of terrorist explosive devices from Iraq and Afghanistan, and through this process have identified bomb makers by name and linked terrorist bombings together through forensic analysis. We've also provided valuable intelligence to the Department of Defense in support of their force protection mission. I think you also mentioned the engineering resources. They're also a critical part of our national security mission. As we've seen over the years, computers and other electronic media have now become the modern-day equivalent of paper files. And as such, most of the information that we collect in our investigations has some form of electronic basis to it. And the new digital age has caused us to reform our intelligence and law enforcement collection processes. And the volume of available audio and video and image and electronic evidence has really taxed our storage and analytic collection and budget capabilities. And as technologies continue to develop, we'll need to rely even more on our engineering teams. Our Investigative Technologies Division consolidated our technology capabilities, which have been longstanding, and it increases our focus on future technologies through research and development.
We've talked about collaboration on the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and we talk a great deal about intergovernmental collaboration with our guests. What other partnerships is your office cultivating?
Well, Richard, there's little that the FBI does these days that doesn't involve partnerships, whether it's our partnerships in Iraq and Afghanistan with the military, our teamwork that we have with the CIA around the world, our strong relationships with our international partners. The FBI is a member of effective teams outside the United States, but here at home, we're also very active participants in many joint national security initiatives. We're currently working very closely with the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to develop processes consistent with DNI guidance. At Liberty Crossing, we're working side by side with our CIA partners on terrorism operations. Also at Liberty Crossing, we're working as full partners in the National Counterterrorism Center, which is a component that fuses all counterterrorism threat information and helps coordinate our national response and provides a strategic analysis support capability to the intelligence community. We're also responsible for the Terrorist Screening Center, where we partner with other agencies to screen international visitors and conduct other screening to locate terrorist suspects within the United States. We're also a partner in the Director of National Intelligence's National Counterintelligence Executive's Office, which is responsible for developing policy and deconfliction in our counterintelligence efforts for the United States government. And we're involved in a number of other joint initiatives. Several that come to mind would be our Foreign Terrorist Tracking Task Force, our National Joint Terrorism Task Force, the Justice Intelligence Coordinating Council. We're partners in the Global Intelligence Working Group. We play a lead role in the National Virtual Translation Center and participate in a number of government document exploitation centers. So I'd say overall, these are just an example of the collaborative efforts that we're involved in, and it's really through our partnerships that we bring broad levels and ranges of experience to bear on our nation's problems.
Gary, many of our listeners may not know, but you actually led the FBI's efforts during the Washington sniper incidents in the fall of 2002. Can you tell us a little bit about your role during this investigation, and what were some of the challenges and lessons learned working with partners in the federal, state, and local agencies in carrying out the FBI's mission in this incident?
The sniper investigation was a tremendous challenge that was, I think, met through the kind of partnerships that I've been talking about, the ability for literally hundreds of agencies to come together and move in one direction to solve a joint problem was a great challenge for all of us, and I think a real credit to all the folks that worked on the sniper investigation, that they rolled up their sleeves and kind of jumped into the pool together and figured out what needed to be done and developed a team that made us much more efficient than we would have been trying to address things individually. I think it's very similar to the lessons that we learned after 9/11. You know, the FBI learned that or came to understand that we're not our only sharing customer. We collect information to further our own agency's investigative needs, but we also have come to realize that our investigative results benefit other agencies equally or in some cases even more than they benefit us. And so the need to share has been recognized and wired into our organization much better. But it's a complicated process. I mentioned earlier the broad range of information that we get in the national security side of the shop. It ranges from unclassified to classified. The biggest challenge in sharing is in classified national security information. But our joint terrorism task forces provide a bridge to this problem, and we issue clearances to all of our members that allow them to see all of the information that is available to the United States government in order to address the problems that they're working on. We also share threat information with threat targets and appropriate law enforcement partners. Regardless of whether it's classified or unclassified, we make sure the folks that need to take protective action understand what the nature of the threat is and can act appropriately. But this process does need a technical solution, and frankly, there's several of them underway that I hope we will be in a position to share with our state and local partners very soon that will help us electronically share information rather than having to worry about work around locating individuals to share information person to person. But improved sharing is a challenge for us, and I think, as I mentioned, 17,000 police agencies in the United States and over 600,000 police officials, it's a tremendous challenge to get them the information that they need at the right time in the process. So our important partners not only are law enforcement agencies, we also have heads of security and corporations and emergency response officials in partnership with the Department of Homeland Security and officials in other federal government agencies. each of which has its own system of records, and many of which, especially in the state and local police departments, many don't have electronic formats, and those that do are not compatible with the electronic formats of other departments. And so the need to have a centralized method of intelligence access is great, but the prospects for a comprehensive solution, you know, are small in the near term, due largely to time and money that it's going to take to solve the problem.
What does the future hold for the FBI? We will ask FBI Executive Assistant Director Gary Ball to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.